This is the Pacifica National Board meeting of December 6th, 2012, meeting at 5:42 p.m. Pacific, 8:42 p.m. Eastern. Summer Reeves Chair, Bill Crozier Vice Chair, Fia One Gaza Secretary. Matt and Secretary is on the call but unavailable. Mr. Vice Chair, if you could call the roll, please. Thank you.
Okay. Ken Aaron?
Here.
Thank you. Ivan Alsame?
Present.
Thank you. Teresa Allen?
Present.
Thank you. Nia Bediako? Can't hear you, Nia. Leslie Bethune?
Here.
Thank you. Carolyn Burton?
Here.
Thank you. Lydia Brazon?
Here.
Thank you. Bill Crozier's here. Kathy Davis?
Here.
Thank you. Revelyn Gold?
Present.
Thank you. Heather Gray?
Here.
Thank you. Campbell Johnson?
Here.
Thank you. Ali Alexa?
Here.
Thank you. Afia Wangaza? Can't hear you, Afia. Laura Pribbins? Is that you, Afia?
Yes, that's Afia.
Okay, thank you. Laura, I didn't hear you.
I'm going back on mute.
Okay. Okay, I didn't hear Laura previous. Summer Reeves?
Present.
Thank you. Marcel Reed? Can't hear you, Marcel. George Ryder?
Here.
Thank you. Tracy Rosenberg?
Here.
Thank you. Dan Siegel? Can't hear you, Dan. Alex Steinberg?
Present.
Thank you. Andrea Turner? Can't hear you, Andrea. John Gary, Recording Secretary?
Present.
Thank you. We have quorum, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. I received excused absence requests from Dan Siegel and Andrea Turner. Are there any objections to those requests?
Without objection.
Thank you, Campbell. And hearing none? Those absences will be approved. Thank you. All right. Do we have anyone who would desire to be the timekeeper this evening? Or at least be willing?
This is Revelyn. I'll try again.
Thank you, Revelyn.
I've had practice in the elections committee, so I'm coming up to snuff.
Okay, thank you, Revelyn. Okay, is there a motion to approve the agenda?
I so move.
Ms. Crozier?
Ken, I have one request. I'm not sure. I don't have the agenda in front of me, but there's a motion from the Governance Committee. Is that on the agenda?
Yes.
Bill?
Yeah, it's on there.
Okay.
I don't know if you have it, but it's on there.
Okay, it's way down there. I mean, it's on there, but it's not going to see the light of day today, I don't think.
I'll make a request to move it up.
To where?
Oh, I don't know. I don't have the agenda in front of me, but somewhere where it'll see daylight.
Okay. Do you want it at the beginning of committee and task force reports, after the coordinating committee? It can go, we have chair report, ED report, CFO report, affiliate director election, and then we go into committee and task force reports. Coordinating committee is first up, dealing with the January meeting, followed by FRAT, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
After the affiliate election.
After the affiliate election at the top of the at the top of the committee and task force report. Okay. Is there a second to that motion? Is there a second to Ken's motion to move the governance committee report to the top of the committee report?
Yes, Carolyn, I'll second.
Carolyn's a second. Is there any objection?
Bill. Just after coordinating shouldn't take long, and we have some motions that we need to get out of the way on regarding the in-person meeting.
I'll accept
okay,
that.
Okay.
Wesley here.
Hi, Wesley.
Hi. Yes, I object. We have some stuff on the programming committee that needs to be done also.
So. Okay, so is that an objection?
Correct.
Thank you. Okay, so we can't accept it moving it after coordinating committee, but above other reports. Is that okay with the second, with Carolyn?
Yes, that's fine. Thank you.
And we have an objection. So why don't we just take a vote? We spend far too much time in agenda approval as it is. If you support moving the governance committee motion up on the agenda so that it comes after the coordinating committee motions but before the frat, please vote yes. If you do not, then vote no or abstain. Bill, could you go ahead and call the roll, please, and we'll just get on with it.
Okay. Can you hear him?
Yes.
Thank you. Ivan Alsamedi? Can't hear you, Ivan. Teresa Allen?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Thank you. Yeah, got it. Thank you. Nia Badiako? Can't hear you, Nia. Wesley Bethune?
No.
Thank you. Carolyn Burden?
Yeah.
Thank you. Lydia Brazon?
No.
Thank you. Bill Crozier votes yes. Kathy Davis?
Yes.
Thank you. Revlon Gold?
Abstain.
Thank you. Heather Gray? Can't hear you, Heather. There's a bunch of noise in the background from someone. Campbell Johnson?
No.
Thank you. Ali Alexa?
Yes.
Thank you. Afia Wangaza? Can't hear you, Afia. Laura Privis? Not on
no.
the call?
I'm on the
no?
call,
okay.
Sorry.
All right, thank you. Marcel Reeds, are you on the call, Marcel? Can't hear you. George Ryder?
No.
Thank you. Tracy Rosenberg?
Yes.
Thank you. Dan Siegel's not here. Alex Steinberg?
Could you clarify what we're voting for? I had to step away for a minute.
We're moving up the governance committee to after the coordinating committee.
After the coordinating committee, and is it what is it before? That it wasn't before.
Well, there was a bunch of things that was skipping over. But the frat will be right after. And then technology, and then development, and then programming.
Okay. Let me pass on that. Okay.
Okay. Andrea's excused. Ivan, I didn't hear you.
Yes.
I can't hear you. Hold that.
I said yes.
Okay, thank you. I didn't hear Nia. I think she's not on the call. Heather, I didn't hear you.
Yes.
Thank you. Afia, I didn't hear you. Okay. Alex?
I'll say yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay, yes, folks. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. No votes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And one abstention. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Bill. All right. Are there any other amendments or changes to the agenda?
We don't have a chief financial officer's report, do we?
We do not. It's been stricken.
Okay.
Madam Chair, this is Revelin. I cannot find the agenda. I have the minutes, but no agenda.
Sure. Bill sent it out earlier today. Bill, could you try sending
it
out? Thank you.
Yeah, just to Revelin. Anybody else need it?
Campbell.
Teresa.
Okay. Okay. Revelin, Campbell, and Teresa.
Thank you. Thanks, Bill.
Okay.
So, yes, and I didn't ask our financial consultant to be on the call tonight because I don't see anything that he needs to report on. So we can strike the CFO report from the from that portion of the agenda. Anything else? And if not, does someone wish to move for approval?
I move that we approve the agenda.
Thank you. That's Alan. Thank you. And is there a second?
It's George. I'll second it.
Thank you, George. Are there any objections? Thank you. And hearing none, the agenda is approved as amended. All right. We have one set of minutes, the November 29th open session minutes. Does someone wish to move for their approval?
This is Teresa. I move the approval.
Thank you. Teresa moves for approval. Who is the second?
Carolyn on the stack, please.
All right. Go first, do I have a second for approval? Is there a second
for
approval?
I'll second it.
Thank you. That's George.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Carolyn.
Yes, I have an objection. I had a correction that I wanted to add to that or put into the minutes. I sent them around earlier today. Does everybody have that?
What is the correction, Carolyn?
Well, it was somewhat not lengthy exactly, but it was a revision shortening part of the minute. It was a substitute motion, essentially, for the paragraph that begins, the IED reported on the need to establish new signers. And I propose,
on information?
Yes.
I think that's for the executive session minute.
Oh, thank you, Bill.
Right? Is that correct?
Thank you.
Thank you, Carol.
We're only dealing with open session minutes in this portion. Are there any objections to the minutes? And if not, then we have a motion for approval. So is there any objection to approving the minutes? Okay. And hearing none, thank you. The minutes are approved. Amazing. Okay. Very good. All right, folks, so I believe next up on the agenda would be myself with the chair's report and IED report. So I think in the chair's report section, we're all aware that there are many issues affecting our elections at this point. Terry Barishas, the National Election Supervisor, has extended the return dates at KPFA and KPFC because I believe there are issues with quorum. There certainly have been numerous election issues at K and a bunch of complaints from P as well. And I believe he's adding WPFW now to his extension list based on the email I saw shortly before this meeting. So, and WBAI was already on a one-week later return date. So it looks like the only one that is probably going to have their ballots counted shortly is KPFA. So, what's happening in that part of it in terms of whether violations or whether, you know, elections will be certified at certain, I don't know until we get there. But right now, we're being extended quorum at those signal areas. I'm going to probably go ahead and cruise into the IED section in terms of other things that we're dealing with. Obviously, there were some program changes implemented by the manager at WPFW, which have received an extremely mixed response. I put a stop to further programming changes at this time. There probably some of this I can go into further on closed session. A lot of this is already out in the papers, and I have to speak to the press. I'm going on the air with him in the morning, so I may as well say what's going on here. I mean, I put a stop to any NPR, PRI-type programming going up on WPFW, and we're not... He's not going to implement any further changes at this time until there's been an evaluation of, where they're at. Obviously, the other issues affecting WPFW are of time-sensitive nature. We need to attend to them, and I will discuss all that further in the session. I'm also sending in someone to assist with the programming there because these program changes have resulted in some personnel issues as well, and I'll go into greater detail on the closed session about those as well. But WPFW, needless to say, has taken up a tremendous amount of mental bandwidth in the last week in dealing with the situation there, which has been somewhat evolving. And all the other WPFW issues we'll handle in closed session. We did successfully negotiate a new contract with SAG-AFTRA in Los Angeles yesterday, so I'm one back down with good. So we're concluded with a new contract at that signal area. We've resolved some issues with WPFW SAG-AFTRA as well. some concerns that they have been addressed, and I think we're in much better shape in terms of our relationship with that union. In closed session, I'll touch more on what's going on in New York. I'm in touch with the union there, because we obviously have an ongoing situation in New York as well in terms of dealing with fund drive. They're facing some very serious infrastructure issues with still having no phones as functional at 120 Wall, so they've had to basically contract out to use a third-party type of phone system in order to do their fund drive, and they are experiencing some real difficulties with various technical aspects of executing drive right now. KBFA and KPFK both started their fund drive on the 4th and are doing well so far. Both stations are experiencing successful drives the first 2 days and have been very positive. So I'm really happy to report that both A and K are doing significantly well in the first 2 days of drive, and that bodes well. DC is supposed to start its drive tomorrow, but again, because of the various issues that have arisen there, I think that drive will be probably significantly impacted by the current dynamics, and we're going to do what we can to support PFW and its drive, and DCI is including these various technical programs. So we're evaluating the whole financial situation based on what the dynamics are on the ground in dealing with our East Coast stations. Texas is not participating in the drive. They're doing a quiet campaign, but Texas has also been having significant transmitter issues. They've been broadcasting at a 10% capacity for several weeks now. They've just gotten their guy wires installed on their tower this last week, and anticipate being back up at least 80% power by next week, hopefully, if there are no other issues. So hopefully we'll have our Texas station almost back up and running all the way. I've had significant conversations with our engineering staff regarding the WPFW move as well, and I'll go into further elaboration on that in closed session as well. But I think we have a good working plan in terms of what we're doing equipment-wise there and effectively dealing with that aspect of the situation. In terms of what's going on at National Office, we're continuing to improve and address issues there. We need significant strengthening in the HR department. I think, as we all know, we've had some significant consultation with our HR service this week on various issues and have highlighted areas for improvement and are utilizing those resources to do some of that, and I can go into more detail on that in closed session as well. Things are moving along in terms of audit preparation. Managers have been getting the requests for information. That's undoubtedly John getting requests for minutes. Everything, we're working on fulfilling the schedule of audit requirements as quickly as possible so that everything's actually ready to hand off to the auditors, who are scheduled to begin the audit at this point on January 2nd, because that was the fastest timeline by which staff thought we could get the everything cleaned up sufficiently to hand to the auditors and have, books that made sense and all the supporting documentation. And so that's moving along very rapidly right now. And that's probably what I have to say in terms of what's happened since a week ago. So I'll take any questions anyone has, and if I've left something out that you want to know about, please feel free to ask.
This is the timekeeper. Are you running the two reports together?
Yeah, I guess so, Revelyn. I mean, the chairs, yes, I think so. Yes, timekeeper.
Fine.
Yes.
We're fine.
Right. So are there any questions or stack or anything?
Yes,
Laura.
This is Ivan.
Okay, I've got Laura, and then Ivan, and who else? Okay. All right, Laura, go ahead.
I just wonder if we might want to consider at some point a policy issue about making it an issue to not bring on any PR NPR type programming that's already airing in their place.
Oh, I think there certainly could be further discussion of this stuff in terms of policy. We've been airing Smiley and West in Los Angeles for 2 years. That's a PRI product. It's a one-hour show. I haven't seen any great backlash against that. I think we have greater discussion in closed session, but there's more than one thing at play here. And also, some of these things may be useful if you want to cut up segments of them, but certainly the perception of one going to a model that's highly dependent on outsourced programs from maybe
perspective that does not seem Pacific. And, I mean, those things certainly could be addressed by policy issues. So, so Laura, I'd say it's certainly grounds for further discussion. Okay? And, I'd be open to any discussion on that. I think there has to be a balance, and, we can talk about it more in closed session also. Ivan?
Yes. Can you repeat what you just said about, did you ask John to roll back the shows that he canceled?
I have not told him. I basically just stopped things where they're at. I have not told him to roll back what he has already done. I'm sending someone in to help evaluate where we're at currently. I did pull back on one of our Inter-Pacifica shows that was going to go out there, and I did put a stop to any implementation of outside programming at this point. So he tells me some of the things that are new are working. I think there needs to be some evaluation as to what's been done and what needs to, continue changing and what needs to be rolled back entirely. So,
hello?
Yes, I'm here, Ivan.
Yeah, the reason why I'm saying that is because we have the only Haitian show in this area, okay? And
yes.
That show is canceled. So I just wanted to ask you if you can somehow intervene, because there's no other way for us to reach out to the community, the Haitian community, without that show.
I understand completely, and you and I did discuss this earlier in the week in terms of representation of communities in the Signal era, and John and I are not done discussing that issue, and I hope to have some additional boots on the ground between either tomorrow or Monday. And I think that's also kind of a policy issue thing that I'm not done dealing with that issue, Ivan. Okay, but I haven't forgotten it either. So,
reveling to that stack.
And Marcel, yes, to the stack. Thank you.
Okay. Sure. Revelin and then Marcel. Go ahead, Revelin.
Okay, thank you. What are the things that by removing that particular... Hello? Okay. One of those.
I'm here, Revelin. Go ahead.
I just hear a lot of stuff in the background. One of the things is that taking Eve's point du jour off the airways, he's also a candidate running for office. That means that you have taken his candidacy out of the running. And not in the beginning, but towards the end of the campaign. And it seems that sets us up for even a lawsuit, because all of us he's yanked out of the election through no fault of his own.
George, for the stack.
Well, you raise a very valid additional issue, Revelin, and I'll take that up as well, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. Marcel?
Yeah, my question is, what is the... I don't know. I just hear them. All that ambulance noise all of a sudden, so excuse me. I'd like to know the limit of GM's authority, because for him to import programming, doesn't there have to be a sign-off from the top in the NPR and the PRI programming? Did you have to sign off on that, Summer?
Sure. I signed off on contracts on things that he said he was interested in doing, which gave him access to those programs. I probably don't want to discuss further on this call what my communications were with John before this happened, but there were communications, and I'm happy to take up this conversation further in closed session, just because these things will bear on personnel issues, so I probably don't want to say anything else on the open session as to my take on how this was deployed or what my communications were with management about that, but I'm happy if we take part of a closed session to discuss that, and I will be fully transparent with all of you as to what transpired between he and I in terms of communications about this and where we're at with that now, okay? Because it's this deployment was not none of this was mandated by me. I'm letting managers run their stations. Whether or not that is something that will continue in quite this way is a different thing. But in terms of the deployment and timing, I don't think this was the right timing. I will say that, okay? And And I'll when we get into closed session, I'll tell you more.
Summer?
Okay. Yes.
Summer, can I interject real quick, please, about this?
Yes.
I feel like it is imperative that you do say something about your conversation with John, and the reason is because we will have a public meeting Tuesday, and John will have his version, and then without hearing from you,
sure.
No one will know what the conversation is. So So you know, to me, I don't support you discussing this in executive session, because the public needs to know your side, because once we have that public meeting, we only will hear John's side.
Point of order, Madam Chair.
Campbell.
Yes. We are very obviously in the midst of talking about a personnel issue, which I think is totally inappropriate in open session.
Thank you, Campbell.
I disagree. I disagree. Let me tell you why. Because John will discuss it on Tuesday. So therefore, we need to hear from you. If you are going to be on call on Tuesday, then that's okay. But if you're not going to be on call, we need to hear from you.
My point stands. And just
okay.
Been reaffirmed.
This is Revelyn.
This situation is an interesting dilemma. I had George, and then I'll come back to you, Revelyn. Okay, go ahead, George.
Sure.
I just wanted to comment about the fellow who's show has just been canceled, and he's actually coming up for election. The PNB, only a year and a half, 2 years ago, had a similar situation where someone had been elected as a staff member and lost their program, and the decision was they stayed on the LSB. It didn't change their status. It isn't exactly the same thing, but I think that's the precedent for this. He should be allowed to take his seat as though that hadn't happened.
Okay, thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
If he wins, I mean, you know, otherwise.
Right.
And Teresa for the stack.
Okay, go ahead, Teresa. You haven't spoken yet.
I think this might be controversial, but I think we also need to be cognizant that there are maybe 1,000 reasons why a program needs to be removed. I mean, and the general manager cannot always discuss it. I think that there are many controversial feelings, and in some instances, the programmers have actually gathered together and expressed their anger at management. And I've even heard some instances where programmers said, well, I'm just not going to raise money. And if programmers are subordinate, what does an LSB expect a general manager to do? If that is the problem, but we will never know because those people, mm-hmm. things cannot really be discussed in public. So, you know, let me finish, Revelyn. And so, when we cannot just say, well, just because this person is the only one that does a program, he has to stay on the air. We don't know all of the story, and I hope that when they have this meeting that our executive director will be able to be on the phone or something to answer questions, but I'm not going to assume that just because people have been taken off the air that they've been mistreated necessarily, because I think that it goes both ways.
Revelyn? My objection is that I'm only hearing one way, and it would be better to just lay that out with all those presumptions, because that, in fact, is not the case. I think the case that I've made is the case, just that it's the only Haitian programming, and you may be right that that's not enough, but to say that programmers may not raise money and all of that, I just think that's terribly unfair and presumptuous on your part.
Ken to the stack.
Ivan.
Okay, hold on, folks. Let's keep it orderly. Was that Ken?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I don't believe that this discussion is on the agenda. and there's no motion on the floor. Right now we're in the ED's report and the IED's report, and then we have following steps on the agenda. Nobody made a motion to discuss handling programming at any of the stations. So it could be added to the closed session statement, and I think the chair could possibly rule on this and save some time, because it seems like we're just getting into a long discussion here.
Marcel, I'd like to make a motion that we be added to the ED's report. If we're not here to respond to emergencies, and I don't think that we're of much use to the foundation.
I'm happy to answer the question because it came up. Point of order. Go ahead. We had time for this item. We are at time. Regardless of the compellingness of it, and I do think that we are scheduled to discuss aspects of the closed session anyway, there needs to be a motion to extend time, or we need to carry the agenda.
Excuse me, only timekeeper. We went on at 8:54, and we'll be at time at 9:15. Thank you.
I don't
think I'm so.
Okay.
Ivan, to the stack, please.
1 second, please, Ivan. Marcel, your motion was to discuss this matter as part of the ED's report at this time. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
And could you put a time frame on that? How much time
15
you want?
Minutes. 15 minutes.
Is there a second to that?
I'm sorry, a second to extending time?
Second.
15 minutes,
For 15 minutes for this item. Okay. Is there objection to that?
Yes, there is.
Okay, could we just call the roll then, please? If you support extending the ED's report for 15 minutes to discuss WPFW programming changes, vote yes. To extend 15 minutes if you do not, vote no or abstain. Bill, could you call the roll, please?
Okay, Ken Aaron?
No.
Thank you. Ivan Alsame?
Yes.
Thank you. Teresa Allen? Can't hear you, Teresa. Nia Badiaco?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Leslie Bethune?
Yes.
Thank you. Carolyn Burden?
Yes.
Thank you. Lydia Brazolin?
Yes.
Teresa Allen says yes.
Okay, thank you, Teresa. Bill Crozier passes. Kathy Davis?
Abstain.
Thank you. Evelyn Gold?
Yes.
Thank you. Heather Gray?
Yes.
Thank you. Campbell Johnson?
Pass.
Thank you. Ali Lexa?
Abstain.
Thank you. Afia Wangaza? Can't hear you, Afia. Laura Privis?
Yes.
Thank you. Marcel Reed?
Yes.
McCall. Oh, Marcel, okay, yes, right. Sorry, forgot you're here. Thank you. George Ryder?
Abstain.
That was abstain?
Yes.
Okay, I got you for abstaining. Tracy Rosenberg?
Abstain.
Thank you. Dan Siegel's excused. Alex Steinberg?
I'm going to abstain.
Okay. Andrea Turner is excused. Well, I'm going to go back and vote no. I don't think we have the time, but anyway, yeses. We have one, two. Oh, so did that pass? Anybody else pass? Oh, Campbell passed.
I'll vote no.
Okay. Did I get everybody? Did you hear the, okay, yes, votes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. No votes. 1, 2, 3, and 5 abstentions. That's approved. Motion's approved. Good stand time.
Thank you, Bill.
I've been to the stack, please.
Go ahead, Ivan.
Summer, all I want is for you to let us know in the public what you discussed with John. Okay? the public needs to know. We have a meeting on Tuesday. These people are planning, okay, to take over the station if they don't get clear answers. John is going to present his side. We need to hear from you so we can get clarification. If you do not tell us, okay, not in full, but partly what you discussed with John, okay, you're not going to like what's going to happen on Tuesday. We need clarification.
Okay,
Evan.
Thank you.
And
okay.
Get to the stack.
Is that Lydia?
Yes, Lydia.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Lydia.
Oh, okay. So I think in terms of what we're discussing, it, I think that hopefully, Summer, you can discuss those things that would normally be discussed in public session. Their programming issues, our programming oversight committee here discusses all of kinds of programming issues all the time, and try to excise those things that are truly of not just of a personnel nature, but of a confidential personnel nature, which is a difference, and that should be discussed, obviously, in executive session. But in terms of everything that I've read, it seems to me it's a large contributing factor has just been the process or the lack thereof. Because embedded even in the union contracts like AFTRA and so forth, they have brief cycles, like 18 weeks or whatever that a single programmer can be on, but if they're taken off, there's a period of time that they are notified and, you know, there's a whole process, right, that takes place. So it seems to me that some people, you know, many of us have always looked forward to hearing more public affairs at WPFW, but I think that what has caused a lot of the ruckus has just been a lack of process. Part of that is because we embed program counsel into the bylaws without defining it or saying how that's going to come about, and every station does it differently. Sometimes it's the LSB that forms it, sometimes it's the station management that forms it, and there's no uniformity. I have long hoped that the programming committee would broach this and establish some uniformity of process. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else?
George for the stack.
Go ahead, George.
There is a resolution from the programming committee which does, in fact, set up uniform standards for program councils and sort of minimum responsibility of the management to the program council, which will be coming up in the programming committee report if we get to it. And it would, in fact, have made a huge difference, as it requires that management not be give up their ability to and their sort of decision-making capacity, but that they be required to justify and report to the council and hence the interested public of what they're doing and why they're doing it. And the council would have had some advance notice in terms of what kind of changes were being planned. Now that's a little bit of an ad for the motion coming up.
Thank you, George.
Campbell,
all right, is there anyone
stack.
Else? Go ahead, Campbell.
As I recall, the job description for the general manager, a primary responsibility is with regard to programming. There have been a lot of issues in terms of WPFW's programming, and it's been known for over a year that our programming arbitrons have been, you know, we got a report on this in February for the LSB, and the programmers learned about it beforehand. So there have been problems. I think that maybe the execution of the situation could be in question, and there we can be getting into some issues regarding personnel matters that I think would be better for a closed session. But insofar as what George was talking about, a process like that, that's been something that in one form or another I've heard about on a continuing basis,
But if that's going to absolve the general manager and program director for their responsibilities in terms of providing programming that is going to serve the needs and also maintain an audience, then, you know, the job descriptions get melted away because somebody else is taking on the responsibility. So I think that these kinds of things and a lot of these issues, especially as they relate to the decisions that have been taken, I think, you know, whether or not in a timely fashion, you know, those are things that are rather sensitive issues, and I think it is not a good idea to be having them bounced around in an open session, and then so that we can have on our meeting on the 11th, it being bounced around again with the assertion that, well, yes, well, the IED said this, and then, you know, what interpretations of one thing or another taking place, I don't think is going to be helpful for our station at all. Thank you.
Marcel to the stack.
Okay. Thank you, Campbell. Go ahead, Marcel.
Okay. My question is not about specifics that I think could be used when it comes to personnel. My question is about whether or not these programming changes were indeed collaborative with the IED, and if so, if these changes were not made just entirely by our GM, then I think there needs to be some discussion of that. It can be in the most general fashion. But also, if there were contracts signed and if those contracts were over $5,000, did we follow the normal process for contract approval? I find it difficult to believe that we're importing programming from other entities and that there is no cost attached to that. And I don't want to know the specific amount on open session. I'm just trying to say, did it exceed the threshold for board approval for those contracts?
Thanks. So, is there anybody else before I answer questions? Okay. All right. So, without, I will try to carefully parse my steps so as to avoid stepping in some unanticipated legal hot water, as I am very attracted to the fact that these people are, you know, employees. But when I was in D.C. last month, month and a half ago now, as you know, I met with John Hughes, and I met with Bobby Hill, and I also met with a bunch of the programmers who were dissatisfied with things at the station. I met with the union staff and the union. The need for programming changes was discussed with all of these constituencies. Just the fact that there are an insufficient number of listeners to the D.C. station, and therefore programming changes do need to occur. I was very out front about that with everyone. And most people actually agreed, even if, you know, people might differ on what those changes need to be. The lack of public affairs programming was the primary point of discussion. At the time, Bobby and John did have a sort of mocked-up programming grid. It wasn't presented side-by-side with a prior programming grid to me to say this is where this is changing from this to this. The predominant thing that we discussed were public affairs programming. I gave them a list of Pacifica programs that I thought might potentially work in the D.C. market, things that are produced at our other stations that I thought could be sourced from potentially, because some of our other stations obviously have, whether significantly improved financial resources or whatever, they have shows that are well produced and have sufficient production support and are of a public affairs nature. And I gave them a list of things to think about. I was very clear with both Bobby and John that I do not make these programming decisions as to which things you change, what you move, or what you put in their place. I've tried to maintain the separation of lines of authority between myself and, you know, my various employees. I recognize that GMs and PDs are the ones that are supposed to be making those changes. I've been very clear on the management calls. There are overall changes that I want to make to the network in terms of
sharing good quality programming from one signal area to another. I'd like us to have a few nationally recognized programs that we play across all of our stations without displacing too much of the local content. But clearly, if we produce a really good show in Los Angeles or Berkeley or New York, and it has a wide enough appeal and it's not too localized, it's something that would work in another market, and it's a good program, we should definitely consider sharing it when we have perhaps an insufficiency of well-supported public affairs programming at certain stations. I think having so much music during the week, Monday through Friday, is problematic for our type of model, and public affairs is what we discussed. The NPR PRI type programming comes completely from John in terms of any desire to put that on your station. None of that comes from me. I do like Smiling West, and I don't mind saying that. It's an hour-long program. We've been playing it in L.A. for 2 years. I like it fine. I did express reservations to him about some of the other things he was interested in carrying of a more strip-type nature. Some of that from a purely functional and practical level, aside from the political and philosophical issues of carrying NPR-style programming or PRI programming. And some of that is as basic as if you, when you take outsourced programming, these people will not raise funds for you during Fund Drive, and we are a Fund Drive modeled organization. We don't yet have a different funding model. So it's already problematic if you become too dependent on programming which is produced elsewhere, and these hosts are under no contractual obligation to actually raise funds for you. John had negotiated some extremely discounted rates for some of these things. I signed off on permissions to even access the programming, not on final contracts as to what it would cost. I have my reservations to him, but I have not reached down to the point of micromanagement. I mean, you know, you all give, different people give me pushback about being the interim executive director and not, like, laying a boot too heavily on people as what they do at the local level. I have to walk a fine line between the things that I fear, definitely the way one should do something, and allowing managers to run their stations. I do perceive that as managers trust my judgment more and see that I make good decisions, it's easier to get them to do what I say and to say, this is what you should do with this. But I am trying to respect also the, you know, who is in charge of which aspects of the operation. Last week, before this was initiated, let me finish on Monday, Friday versus weekend. When they presented to me some programming changes, I was also presented with very wanted to do with the weekend. They were presented to me as, I know the weekend does way better financially at BFW. That's obvious. And to me by both programmers and management, that the weekend was a fairly functional part of your grid in terms of listenership, revenue, etc. What was presented to me about the weekend, again, was not in comparison to, I wasn't presented with an old grid and this is the new grid. It was like, these shows here, the only things we're moving are things that are working. And it was raised to me the idea of consolidating certain shows, keeping the same host, and changing the name. I indicated that that should be done in consultation with the program host, since names are rather personal and people get attached to them, plus there's audience identification with naming of shows. So I gave feedback, but I was very clear with Bobby and John that they needed to have communication with their programmers as to what they were anticipating doing with changes. Obviously, communication.
Sorry, we're at time. Can you hear me?
Yes, I'll try to wrap it up.
Yes, thanks.
My conversation last week, which was before the programming changes were deployed with John, I did not give a hard directive, so it isn't, there are words I don't even want to use in open session. Okay, what I gave him was my feedback and guidance, which is that I thought it was a bad idea to deploy any of these programming changes at this time. Because, again, for practical reasons, not even getting into the heart of the matter as to what the programming changes are, but on a time basis, and we have Fund Drive starting this week, and we have a funding opportunity with our major donor to move additional items that would be helpful to us financially but are somewhat East Coast dependent on both the D.C. and New York stations in terms of proximity to the event, that all of these things combined did not make this an advantageous time to introduce new programming changes. I was clear about that. What I got back as a response was that management felt there was a necessity to make programming changes before moving into the new facility. And
I didn't give a hard and fast directive that said, no, absolutely not. I gave my feedback, which said, I think this is going to not be a wise decision. Clearly, a week later, I would say I agree with myself, and this has not been a wise decision. We're now in a damage control phase. I would say that, you know, we have essentially a situation on our hands. I don't think it was properly deployed. I think there was perhaps insufficient communication with programmers based on feedback I've gotten, that people were caught by surprise as to the individual changes. And I've pulled back on some of the Pacifica programming because I don't want other hosts who I think would actually be well-received in the D.C. market to be tainted by, you know, blowback that isn't their fault based on the timing of their introduction to your airwaves. I do think programming changes are still absolutely necessary in every regard to deal with the public affairs aspect of it, to the listenership in D.C., just from a financial perspective. This was not deployed the way I would have wanted it. It wasn't done when I thought it should happen, and I've put a stop to any implementation of NPR or PRI-type programming. I had misgivings about those things to begin with, but again, I am trying to allow...
I think we should start
sorry, I couldn't hear you, Summer.
I stopped talking for somebody very noisy all the time. So anyway, so the long and the short of it is, yes, I signed off on things. That is because I'm not micromanaging. I expressed my misgivings. I certainly expressed my reservations about the timing being unwise. That certainly has played out to be the case. I would say that now D.C. is in a very critical condition as to how to execute a fund drive under these circumstances. I'm sure John's fully aware of that. The PD has resigned on Monday. I would say clearly if the manager and the PD are not on the same page about proposed programming changes and their interaction with programmers, that's a problematic situation as well. You know, leaving it to the authority of the people on the local level to run their station, you know, one has to hope that these things have been planned out and that the decisions that are made make sense from a management perspective. at this point, you know, I have the management on the ground that I have. We have the situation that we have. I've stopped any further implementation. Certainly, you know, the reservations I had about this programming haven't changed any, and I think there was significant backlash to putting that type of programming on the air, so I'm not intending, I mean, there was further follow-up even after all this stuff was hitting the fan, and I said absolutely not. I mean, there's absolutely no way we're putting any NPR-type programming on D.C. at this time. I think where we're at now is, you know, I definitely want somebody else to assist in evaluating what the situation is there. I'd still like to hold in good information from other stations.
Thank you, Summer.
Trouble hearing you, Summer.
Sorry.
And thank you for your explanation.
Yeah, so I'm, you know, that's as transparent as I can be on an open call, but it certainly covers the vast majority of, you know, what's gone on in terms of back and forth communication over this situation, okay, without touching on anything further.
And may I say just one more quick thing?
Sure, Reverend.
There has been little to no organization of the community. We don't have bumper stickers. We don't have cards. There's a lot that we used to have. We don't have caps, T-shirts. We don't have anything like that that management has pushed for and realized to help us organize the community, things that we had before. So I really don't think it's fair to lay it all at the feet of the programming when we don't have those things that augment the station.
Certainly, Revelyn. Well, I think there's obviously, there are multiple issues at play in this particular situation. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Afia.
Yeah, I want to, as an affiliate, I wanted to also comment on the changes, particularly the loss of Dr. Theodore Watkins and of Tom Porter. Dr. Watkins' programming focused on the health crises in the black community, And while Gary Noel might generate money, this station, Pacifica stations are not supposed to be selling time. And to not include, at a minimum, Dr. Watkins, because Gary Noel sells, generates money, is equivalent to selling time, number one. Number two is the caliber of programming that Tom Porter brings is unprecedented. It's not available on Democracy Now!, is not available on other such programs that are aired on Pacifica. And the loss of that program is a significant loss to black affiliates specifically, and a part of the reason that we associate with Pacifica more specifically.
Thank you, Afia.
And Aaron, to Zach, just a point of order. I think we're at time.
Thank you, Ken. Okay, and I just want to make a final point based on what Afia is saying. Well, I don't want to publicly say that we sell time, because we don't. But on the micromanagement of programming, again, to be clear, I am trying to respect my role as, you know, these all work for me right now. I'm their boss. But I could take a really heavy-handed approach, as everyone knows, about all sorts of things. I mean, I have definite ideas about what we need to do about programming. I'm not trying to become the program director for each station. That's not my role. It's not the manager's role either. That's why I think, you know, one has to have the program director have to be fully engaged in programming decisions and should do that in collaboration with the GM. You know, I may get pushier about programming changes based on a financial basis, but frankly, they would be things to do with national programming, really, really good programming, and saying we've got to put something in your drive time that works better, that will draw audience. I haven't gone to that point yet with any of the managers. If I were going to reach down into each station and say, this is, you know, this is a better program, that's a sucky program, this one represents that, people would be so upset at my level of micromanagement that I'd be getting all kinds of pushback from this board over exceeding my authority as an ED by telling managers what programs to have on the air. I am not doing that, and I did not do that in this situation, and I'm not going to do that, again, unless it comes down to a financial exigency or an overall vision for the network, which says we are going to have some nationalized programming in prime time in these hours. And if I get to that point, I will definitely be there. Everybody will know that. But at this point, I have been trying to respect allowing these managers and PDs to make their decisions. If people make poor decisions and they have poor results, well, then that's something else that we have to deal with, you know, that I have to deal with in terms of evaluating where a manager's at and running a station. So I just, now, when it comes to demographic issues, like, you know, the Haitian show being the only show that serves a certain portion of the population, because of policy issues, I think it is reasonable, based on our mission statement, that we seek to serve certain constituencies that exist within signal areas that are underserved or not served at all anywhere else. But on a case-by-case basis, I'm not going to, any more than I did in the decisions that John made. And, I literally said to them, I am not telling you what to prove. I'm not telling you where to put it. I am saying that you need to improve the situation. And that's where I'm at with everybody right now. I am not telling people, put this. I mean, we did the emergency day of fundraising. I helped produce that in terms of a lot of the logistics, technically. But I was very clear, the producers are the producers. What you produce is what you put on the air. That's not my role here. So I just want to be clear on that, even if there's discontentment. The discontent would go the other way. If I reached down and started managing that way and started telling managers, this is what you're going to put on the air, or you're going to take that thing off, or you're going to put this in that time slot, there would be a lot of pushback over that, and people would not be happy with me behaving in that fashion. So, stuff like that isn't going to happen unless it's a nationalized drive to improve drive time across the network, and in which case everybody will know about it ahead of time. So I just want to be clear on that. Even in fixing this situation, I am not going to micromanage it to individual program levels. You know, again, if there are certain communities that have been completely, you know, locked out by this process, well, that's something that needs to be addressed. And I will take a look at that, okay? But in terms of this show versus that show, or this one got moved here, I just don't see that as the job that I'm supposed to perform. I need to put the right people in the right places and encourage them to make the right decisions, take action if they fail to do so. And obviously at this point, I'm going to do everything to deal with the DC situation as effectively as possible, to do the damage control necessary right now, and to just take a step back and reevaluate
done to address the programming changes, okay? So.